Good morning, everybody. In Maseches Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us the famous story about the potential convert who wanted to bypass the system and learn all of the Torah in one quick lesson. So he first goes to the great Tana Shammai and requests, Gaireni al Menasha Talamdeni Kol HaTorah Kula al Regal Achas. I would like to become a convert, but I have no interest in committing to the rigorous classes that are necessary for the conversion. Is there any way you, Shammai, could sum everything up for me in one short lesson? And Shammai is appalled at such a request, and he refuses to deal with this potential convert. So, the man then goes to Hillel, and requests the same of him. Gaireni al-Menasha telamdeni kol ha-Torah kula al-Regal achas. I would like you to teach me the whole Torah in one quick lesson. And Hillel, in a very warm and welcoming manner, simply responds, Ma'ada aloch sani, l'chavrach lo savid. What you don't like being done to you, you in turn should not do to others. And thereafter, Hillel accept this convert as a part of the Jewish people. This would seem to be in line with the famous words of Rabbi Kiva, who says, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The most fundamental principle in all of the Torah is to love others as ourselves. This is a very difficult mitzvah that is found in our parsha, Parshas Kedoshim, and over the years I'm sure we have all heard various explanations of this very difficult concept. But I want to focus primarily and specifically on this story of Hillel and the Ger, because to me it is extremely problematic, and it is a story that is very hard to understand. For anyone who knows anything about modern-day conversions, it is quite well known that such a conversion, the likes of Hillel's conversion, would not be considered a valid one in our generation at all. A convert surfaces without any prior credentials, asks us one simple question, and is then accepted as a convert? Don't we have standards and a whole slew of classes before we would be willing to accept a convert? Any modern-day Beis Din will spend time interviewing the prospective candidate to be sure that he or she is actually sincere and completely committed to halacha. After all the rigorous classes, we yet again review the halachos right before the actual immersion takes place, just to be sure that everything is clearly stated and understood by the potential convert. So what was going on with Hillel? How did Hillel accept a convert who seemingly was not committed to Torah mitzvahs at all? This convert did not show signs of a complete acceptance. So how did such garish standards get a stamp of approval in the times of the Gemara by the great Tana Hillel? The Rishoner Rebbe offers an absolutely beautiful suggestion to explain this very difficult story. And he writes as follows. This candidate, in fact, attended hundreds of classes and shiurim about Judaism. He learned all that there was to know before considering the conversion. This man knew every nuance about every minig and all chumras of Chal of Yisrael and Pas Yisrael. After all, his teachers were the great leaders of the generation, Hillel and Shammai. But right before his conversion, he was stuck with one mitzvah that he simply could not understand, and that was the following. You know, we have many Yamim Tovim throughout the Jewish calendar. Pesach, as we all know, reminds us of our experience in Mitzrayim, and all that transpired while we made our way to Eretz Yisrael. Shavuot celebrates our acceptance and unwavering commitment to the Torah. We show our affection and demonstrate the meaning and significance of the Torah in our daily lives. And Sukkot reminds us of our trek through the Midbar, the fragile conditions that faced us, and the supernatural experience that we had the great opportunity to live through. But the convert was bothered with one Yom Tov. There was one Yom Tov that he simply could not get a handle on, and he could not figure out. And that is exactly when he approached the great Tana Hillel and asked, Gaireni, I would like to become a convert. I know everything there is to know. Amenasha talamdeni kol ha-Torah kula al-regalachas. Please, I am willing to convert. I know everything, but there's one Yom Tov, a regal achas, referred to as Shmini Atzeres, the regal that comes at the tail end of Sukkis, as well as Shvi Shal Pesach, which the Torah refers to as Atzeres. That one, I simply can't seem to understand. What do we celebrate on the last days of Sukkot and Pesach? Before I convert, I would like some clarity on these particular celebrations, and I would like to understand what they are all about. To which Hillel very warmly responds, if you would like me to sum up Shmini Atzeres and Shvi Shel Pesach in one short sentence, if you really want to understand everything there is to know about this unique day of celebration, it is this one line, Ma de'aloch sani lechavroch lo savit. What you don't like being done to you, you in turn should not be doing to others either. We spend an entire Yontif together with Klal Yisrael. We have an experience where everyone comes together in Yerushalayim or across the world, in each and every community. We come to appreciate the needs, the concerns, the worries, and the customs, the minhagim of each and every person. We have spent time with, and at the culmination of all this time together, we can sum up the whole experience with one sentence. Ma de'aloch sani lechavroch lo savit. Because that is what we are meant to walk away with from an elongated Yom Tov experience. An appreciation for other people. A genuine feeling of love and compassion for those who we have just spent time with. And a renewed respect for people who are not our immediate relatives and friends. That is what Yom Tov is all about. And this is the very critical message Hillel felt he needed to impart to this convert before his conversion. Chazal tell us that on Shmini Atzeres, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kavayachol, Kasha Alai Predaschem. After spending a week's time with my beloved people, it is hard for me to part with them. So let's just spend one more day together celebrating. And there are some Mefarshim who are bothered with the phrase, Kasha Alai Predaschem. Grammatically, it would have been more proper to say, Kasha Alai Predasenu. Our parting from each other is difficult. After spending a whole week together, it is hard for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to part ways with the collective you, being Klal Yisrael. So what does it mean when we say, Kasha Alai Predaschem? But perhaps the idea is as follows, that after having an experience which unites us as a people, after we all leave our homes and ascend to Yerushalayim for one common goal, it is in fact a difficult thing for Klal Yisrael collectively when it has to come to an end. When everyone packs their bags and once again returns on their own way. When we are no longer working toward the same goal and we revert back to our personal interests and the busyness of our own lives. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds difficult. It is not that we're taking leave of Him, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. It is rather the reality that we are all taking leave from each other. Yerushalayim is referred to as the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav, and the Gemara in Baba Kama explains, it is the Ir Shemechaberes Es Yisrael Ze Lo Ze. It is the place where we all come together and unite as one people. It is where the individual is left behind, and the place where the sense of community is most appreciated. This is what a Yom Tov experience is supposed to bring us to feel. And this is why it is difficult for the Ribbono Shel Olam when Yom Tov has to come to a close. Kasha alai predaschem. Your leaving from one another is difficult for me to watch. On Pesach we recite the beautiful words of the Hisha Amda. And in this very uplifting paragraph we recount the entirety of Jewish history. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechaloseinu. There have been numerous attempts in each and every generation to utterly destroy us and eradicate our history. Sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually or theologically. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has always been there to spare us. As we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam. But listen to the incredibly powerful words of the great Hasidic Rebbe, the Sfas Emes. Listen to an insight which leaves us something to think about as we slowly move away from this Yom Tov of Pesach. Says the Sfas Emes, if you want to know exactly what it is that has threatened us in each and every generation, if you want to point at one thing in particular and say that this is what has been keeping us in this painful gullus for all of these thousands of years, it is the sad reality of Shelo Echad Bilvad, that the Jewish people cannot figure out how to be Echad, that we cannot manage to fuse and unite as one people, and this, says the Sfas Emes, has been destroying us decade after decade, generation after generation. Our internal struggle has been the most difficult part of our history throughout each and every generation. The lack of mutual respect, the lack of tolerance for one another, the lack of appreciation for our own brothers and our own family has been and continues to be the most dangerous and destructive force throughout all of our generations and our history. When Moshe Rabbeinu begins the construction of the Mishkan, the Psukim write, Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael vayomer aleihem. Moshe gathered in the entire nation, the entire Jewish people, and then outlined the plans for the building of the Mishkan. Rashi comments, L'machras Yom HaKippurim Haisa. This ingathering, Vayakel, happened the day after Yom Kippur. And the question is, why is this detail important? What does it matter to us when they were given the instruction about the Mishkan? It would seem almost trivial and insignificant to the overall story of the building of the Mishkan. So why does Rashi share with us this insight of Chazal that Vayakel Moshe was the Machras Yom HaKippur? He gathered everybody in the day after Yom Kippur. And some Mefarshim explain because on Yom Kippur, we know that everyone is close with one another. There is a communal feeling of fear. There is an atmosphere of complete reconciliation. And the entire people unites as one for a common goal. But the question is, what happens the day after Yom Kippur? I remember feeling this sense by the last Siyum HaShas. It was awesome to sit in a place with so many other Jews united for one purpose. It was an experience where there were so many different types of people sitting alongside one another, dancing with each other, embracing, and no one even had the presence of mind to notice or pay attention to the differences that were so striking between the various groups of Jews who attended. But what happened when we all left that stadium? How did we feel when the inspiring event was all over? What did we focus on when everyone went home? Did that same sense of unity ring through our ears the days or weeks or years following this inspiring event? And this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu tried to teach us as well. He gathered the Jewish people specifically L'machras Yom HaKippurim because he wanted to teach us that this is the way one is supposed to feel not only on Yom Kippur, but all the time. These thoughts and feelings should not be limited to a Yom Kippur or to a Yom Tov, to a Siyum HaShas. They are supposed to be the thoughts and feelings that we have for one another all throughout the year. The Kedushas Levi famously explained the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im ta'iru ve'im ta'oru es ha'ahava ad she'techpatz. When a person is inspired by whatever event or milestone in his or her lifetime, it is critical that that inspiration be concretized and made into a chefetz, ad she'techpatz. One has to make it into a tangible or a physical manifestation, because otherwise, as we all know, these feelings will very rapidly dissipate. When we conclude a very exciting Yom Tov, when we think about the experience of gathering together in a shul, hearing Divrei Torah, davening, singing, dancing, and reciting Hallel together, we are reminded of Yerushalayim, the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav, the city in which everyone was united for one collective goal. We are reminded of our collective bond when we join for a common cause, but we cannot allow these feelings to fade away from us. We must do something to concretize and to make sure that we walk away from this Yom Tov just slightly more improved than the way in which we came into it. It is not a coincidence that we read Parshas Kedoshim this year, right after Pesach. This is the Parsha in which we speak of the very difficult mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. This is the thought that should be so fresh on all of our minds, and it is what we are supposed to take away from the entire Yom Tov experience as the great Tana Hillel taught us. Perhaps we can spend just a few minutes thinking about one person in our neighborhood or our community who could use our help in a very small way. Maybe calling a neighbor who is alone and did not have the great fortune of spending time with so many family members as we may have had. Perhaps offering a short tefillah for someone who we don't have a connection with. Spending a minute thinking about the suffering of a family who we are not connected to, and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give those people strength. It just takes 1 minute of our time, but during the busyness of our lives, we don't even have the simple minute to think about such things. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, Ein ben David ba, ela bedar shekulo chayiv, o kulo zakai. Mashiach only come in a generation that is completely resolved of wrongdoing or completely steeped in wrongdoing. Because what is more important than all the mitzvahs that we do is the way we act toward one another. Even if we are a dar shekulo chayiv, a generation which may have stooped to the lowest of the low, we still will be redeemed because we are kulo. We are all working in unison and as one with each other. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that before the building of the Mishkan, it was imperative to have a vayakel, as kol adas b'nei Yisrael. We needed to have the ingathering, because without it, there is no such thing as a potential kedusha at all. When we daven each and every day for Yerushalayim, we wish to once again have this opportunity to unite and see the greatness of our collective people. We daven that one day we have the strength to break down our own barriers and begin to appreciate what others bring to the table and how special their contributions are to the collective whole as well. May this month of Nisan in fact be the Chodesh HaGeula, and may we all merit once again to see the experiences of Aliyah LeRegel with the Binin Bayis HaShlishi b'mheira v'yameinu, amen v'amen. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.